Hey, this is Corey. Today's episode was extremely fun to create, and if I do say so myself, one of our best. However, we have some important announcements that we would like for you to hear before you listen to today's episode. First off, Ilia Given is joining our team as a co-host, and so now you'll be able to hear up to 4 unique voices on our show. This also means that if I or Brandon are ever unavailable to record an episode, Ilia will be there to fill in for one of us. Also, as you can tell, being able to connect with and talking to different jumpers involved in the sport has been a lot of fun. Brandon, Ailey, and I enjoy making the podcast for all of you every week, and we want to continue creating new episodes for as long as possible. However, as you can imagine, it's a big commitment of time and resources. That's why we are asking for your help to continue to produce and grow Jump Rope Jam together. That's where our Patreon page, which can be found by searching Jump Rope Jam at patreon.com, comes into play. Unlike Kickstarter, which works to produce a single project, Patreon is geared for continued digital releases. Patreon is a fully optional subscription service for listeners who want to give back to the show and be a part of its continued growth and success. Here's how it works. You set the amount you want to give per episode, and Patreon will only charge you when a new episode is released. It's that easy. Patreon also lets you set a monthly limit, so that way you stay within a budget and aren't charged any further. Patreon also helps us to give back to you. We have amazing bonuses for different subscriber levels, as you can see on our Patreon page, as well as some exciting milestone goals. The Jump Rope Jam podcast will always be 100% free of charge and always be on time to all listeners. Supporting us through Patreon is fully optional, but is fully encouraged. With your help, we hope to do the podcast for many years to come. Thank you for taking the time to learn about our Patreon page. And remember, jump rope is a sport. Now go enjoy one of our best shows. Hey, this is Corey.
Hey, and I'm Brandon, aka Jump Rope Champion on all social media networks.
And this is Jump Rope Jam. Today we've got a special guest with us, Kate Dolan. She is the author of award-winning historical fiction and romance, and especially the book Roped In. Kate, do you have anything that you want to share with the listeners about yourself, or do you want to tell them a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I... One of the things that to me is kind of interesting about Roped In is that I started writing it as an outsider to the sport, more or less. My daughter had been jumping with the team for a couple of years, but she wasn't doing anything competitive. And the Kangaroo Kids, the team that she's with, I think is maybe a little unique in that they do about half the team just does performing in shows, and so they start out teaching them routines, and they don't even work on competitive skills until they've been doing it for a while, and so we really didn't know anything about competition, and I was kind of desperate for a topic for this mystery, because the original topic that my editor had approved, I decided it wasn't going to fit in with the timeline that the story needed to happen. And it was also going to take a ton of research, and I didn't feel like I could do it. So I was looking for something that would be kind of easy. And I thought, well, hey, you know, I could maybe do something with a jump rope competition, and I can interview people and you know, get information that way. So I started out outlining my story, not really understanding what it was all about. So... I think at some point now that we've been doing this for longer, I want to go back and write it more from an insider's perspective.
So Brandon, Ailea, do you have anything as being insiders that you want to ask, or?
Well, I mean, she's been a part of the sport for a couple of years now, so I would definitely say that she's an insider, and she knows what she's talking about. So, you know,
have you guys met? I know that you know, are in the same state, and obviously Kate with your daughter being in Kangaroo Kids, and I know that you've worked with Kangaroo Kids, Brandon.
Yes.
Have you met yet?
I don't think that we have been formally introduced, but I know we have seen each other at events, and you know how it is. Everybody's always running from one thing to the next, so there's not a lot of standing around and talking time.
Right. No, I definitely think that that's something that should change. It would be very nice to be able to have events that don't need to just be, you know, for jumping, but, you know, just getting together and building the community.
Absolutely. That would be important, especially as, you know, the jumpers kind of age out of one team and move on to something else. You know, trying to help to build those connections would be good. And, for the adults in the sport like me, you get to know the people sitting next to you at the judging table, and that's kind of it. So so that would be nice.
And
I'd like to hear what I've been around the sport now as a judge and a coach for a number of years, but I have never competed, so I would kind of be interested in knowing what things that people who have actually competed, what would you like people to know about the sport?
I mean, as far as me being a competitor and, you know, competing in the sport for some odd years, the only thing I would want people who have never seen jump rope as a competitive sport is to see the sport. Just basically go to a competition, check it out, support the sport, and just see what it's all about. You know, I just would rather want more people to just come and see the sport, and then give your opinion on what it is before you actually, you know, have an opinion about the sport.
Yeah, there really is a plethora of information about the sport that you'd love to share, right? And I think as soon as you get someone within the community, once you get them going, you probably open up a lot of doors that way. But I think Brandon's correct, just that seeing it for the first time, I usually say, check it out on YouTube. And that usually piques somebody's interest enough or gets their attention enough. But I definitely would want people to know that it really is competitive and athletic. But I also would want people to know that it has the, it really lends itself to artistry and performance and those types of things as well. And it kind of can straddle those two worlds of art and also athleticism. And then, I don't know, I guess I always find a lot of people don't know that it really is an international phenomenon, our sport, and how beneficial it really is for your cardiovascular system and building up muscle. Like, it really is a full body workout, and so maybe those are the types of things that I'd want people to know about my sport.
Kate, what kind of book were you planning on doing, though, as like an insider book? The same series?
I think that it might be nice to write like a young adult. And young adult in book terms means a book that's aimed at middle schoolers and is usually about high schoolers. So something about jumpers who are actually competing and some of what they're going through, maybe. Because the Roped In it's a mystery novel. It's about a detective who, or a private investigator who is trying to prove herself because she got fired from her last case and she's in very precarious grounds and she feels like she's not getting a serious case because it's a case involving a broken jump rope. And so she is coming in from an outsider and she figures that she can just get her kids on the team easily because everybody knows how to jump rope. And then she goes to a practice and sees that it's completely different than what she was expecting. So we do get, you know, we get her vision of the sport and she learns about it. But because her kids maybe try it out for a couple of times, you know, we get them also as outsiders. We don't have the perspective really, except in the incidental characters and in the suspects and so forth. We don't really see their point of view of what it's like when this kind of becomes a huge integral part of your life. So that's kind of the perspective that I would like to get. And that is sometimes really hard to do in a written story because it is so visual. And that's one of the challenges. But I do think that it's a story that needs to be told. I think that jumpers are kind of anxious to see, you know, hey, where is my sport out there? Everybody else is playing soccer, and, you know, I need to see that my sport's important too, and then it's recognized.
Well, that's part of why I wanted you on, Ilya, and obviously Brandon would be on as well. I wanted you guys to share and also just maybe, you know, give more of your point of views to add to this. So that way, when the book is written, it will be more your voices than, you know, an outsider's voice.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I feel as though she's an insider. You know, she's been a part of a sport. She's been coaching a sport. She's been to a competition before. So I feel as though she has some knowledge, even though she's never, I don't know for sure, but.
No,
I've never competed. I do find it interesting now. I'm not coaching as much as I used to, but I'm actually jumping more because I've been doing CrossFit classes, and CrossFit uses jump rope a lot. And I do think that there is possibly some room for some collaboration there among the because the CrossFit community is growing tremendously. Yep. And is very intense and very, they're just very interested in everything related to CrossFit. So I do think that trying to kind of reach out and connect with that community a little bit more would probably be good for the sport of jump rope.
And some jumpers have been, actually. We had on a jumper named Zach Tomlinson, and he's gone to actual CrossFit gyms and taught them jump rope. So
yes, and I've definitely been to a couple CrossFit gyms in my area as well, you know, teaching with double unders and helping them with their form and things like that. But I feel as though with CrossFit, that's pretty much as far as it will go for them. They do understand, you know, when we come and we show them and we do a demonstration of the tricks that we can do. But in their mind, I still believe that they're going to stick to just learning the double unders mostly, you know, to better themselves for the CrossFit competition, because it's not just jump rope. It's, you know, other things like weightlifting and things like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think that there are some, like, for example, the gym that I go to, they started offering, they've had a parkour course. They're branching out into different things. So while a lot of CrossFit enthusiasts are not going to be interested in doing any more than increasing their double unders, there may be a few out there that are interested in finding some different ways to expand on what they do so that the exercise is a little bit more creative, because that is one of the things about the sport that I absolutely love is what Leah said earlier. It's that straddles that world between the creative and the artistic, like dance, with the really intense athletic, you know, just requiring serious commitment to training, and in a quantifiable sense, a lot of the sport is you can measure your progress, but other aspects of the sport, it's really kind of up to you and how you want to create it, and also how a judge wants to see it. So I love that that combination. It really is pretty rare in life.
Yes, I believe so.
So, yeah, I really could see an insider's perspective sort of lending itself to middle school or characters that are in high school for sure. There's definitely a lot of pressure on rope skippers. I mean, obviously they've got people there specifically to judge literally every move that they make. Some of the parents, I think, are very interesting characters in our community. Some of the parents get really involved in what's going on. And like, as you said, that can be positive or it could be seen as negative, depending. As you said, you coach and you also judge, and there's parents who do all sorts of things. And I've definitely also seen parents who are competing. And so maybe as part of your research, maybe you'll give it a try and sort of experience what some of that pressure feels like.
Yeah, hey. that's not a bad idea.
Corey.
And then definitely for me, just like you were talking about, the way that some of it's up to you and some of it isn't, I definitely, for me, skipping around that age, there was definitely a struggle.
Hold on to that thought. Ilya, is that your dog or is that yours, Kate?
It's not
my dog.
Okay, yeah. Andy, my dog is downstairs. I have a rabbit, but she's really quiet right now.
So I'm sorry to be a stickler,
sorry,
Ilya.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
It was like that.
I knew what you were getting at, Brandon, but I wanted to not cut in. Like, I was hoping that maybe it would get excited, your dog would get excited and then, you know, go into the other room, but.
Right.
Sorry.
But it
no,
was like, a,
don't
the
be.
Whole conversation.
I didn't realize because I have the headphones in.
That's totally
but,
fine.
But my husband was like rolling a ball for him and it went like under where I'm sitting. And
oh, jeez. I know how that
behind
is.
Behind me.
My parents' dog is a Lhasa Apso lab mix, so he's like super smart. And the first thing we taught him to do was play fetch. Sure enough, he learned that the sooner he threw the ball back after he got it in his mouth, the sooner I would throw it back at him. So now whenever I play fetch with him, he'll catch it in his mouth just for like a split second, throw it right back at me by shaking his head, and then it'll roll underneath one of the pieces of furniture at my parents' house, and he'll start barking because he can't get it, and he knows I'll get underneath to get it for him. So I know how that goes.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry if you have to like edit.
No, no problem.
When did it start?
How long was I just babbling on?
From the beginning of what you were saying.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Let's get back on topic. But I did want to bring up about what was I actually? Now I'm forgetting what I was going to say. So if you guys have something, just jump.
You do edit these things, right?
Yeah. No, I do. But I kind of want to leave some of that in just because it is a real moment and it wasn't bad. It was.
Yeah.
I'll start over a bit. So and this is good because now that I've already done it once, I'll be more synthesized.
Okay.
All right. So I think what you're saying, Kate, about targeting a middle school audience and having characters who are around high school age, I think that would be really great because as high school jumpers, they're concentrating on their studies. They have a lot of pressure from judges who literally are judging every move that they make on the floor. They have training schedules that are fairly strenuous. And then some of the parents can be very vocal and very involved. In a positive way or a negative way, as you said, you're coaching and judging. And I've also seen parents who are competing. I've seen parents who have like special t-shirts that they've printed that say like, you know, Caitlin's mom, or, you know, some parents get really, really into it. So I think you would have some opportunities for characters there. And then also sort of in the high school drama vein, I know for me, because there is the athleticism and there's also the art, and I was really into the arts in high school, for me there was definitely that identity emerging through that time. Like, I wanted to train really hard and be a really tough girl athlete, but I really felt like I had something to say and something to offer artistic-wise and in the music that I chose. So, you know, all of that high school drama was sort of coming out in my skipping when I was that age. So I'm sure.
And
you
did
have.
did you feel like you were missing out on anything in high school because you had to devote so much time to something outside of school?
Well, the short answer is yes, because I left and was off doing circus stuff in high school. So I actually had to be tutored so I could finish and graduate.
Oh, well, yeah, that's sort of.
So
yeah, that's
like
all.
I
the extreme version.
Normal social experiences. Maybe I missed some of those, but it caught up to me a little bit later when I decided to rebel and enroll myself in public education and get a job at a grocery store. I thought I was really, like, really living then. So.
When was that? How old were you?
So it would have been like my last year of high school. And I came back from the circus and got a job at the grocery store across the street from the public high school. And I don't know how much of the story I should tell because I wouldn't recommend it, but basically my parents sent me to the circus and I ran away from the circus. I hitchhiked home with a 17-year-old.
Well,
okay.
that is a new twist on the joining the circus story, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. it's a good one for another day. But I definitely think you could set a high school drama in our sport for sure. And there's plenty that the kids are dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah, and that just reminded me of what I wanted to bring up, which is that I was listening to a podcast recently, and it was about most of the books were set like at the prom because it was such an easy narrative piece to use that they didn't really need to set much of anything up for the reader because the reader already knew the stakes of the prom. So this adds to that kind of mentality of like you would have, you know, you could have like a jump rope competition and people would know that it's a competition even if they don't know what jump rope is, and that could be like the prom basically or both the prom and the jump rope competition both are happening at the same night and they have to I should shut up because this is a really good book idea.
the thing is that I think if I was doing a movie, it would be a lot easier to have something set at one particular competition because you would be showing the action. But I can't really do that in a book. So I think it is going to be spread out more over the course of a year and watching relationships change. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working through how this is going to be. But I think one of the things that I think will be interesting is like exploring how it is for guys in the sport because there are a lot of people who react like my son, which is, well, jump rope isn't a sport. It's a, you know, it's an exercise. It's not a sport. So these guys, I mean, I think in particular it's got to be harder on the guys who are being told, you know, it's not really a sport. What are you doing? You know, you should be out playing soccer or running track. And a lot of them do that. But then if you want to get serious about it, you have to make some decisions and figure out where you're going to spend your time and your physical energy because you just can flat out wear out your body if you try to do too many sports at one time. So I think it will be really interesting to explore the conflicts that the guys have to deal with in particular in high school.
Well, I mean, that's just, that's a norm for me. I feel as though every boy will have to go through that in the sport of jump rope once they hit high school. Because you do have a lot of people who don't know about the sport. I would say in my county, I'm the only boy jumper who made it through high school. So I'm like a one of one in my county. But, you know, as I went through high school, I played basketball, you know, while jumping rope. And I only did it for about 2 years. And then I just realized that, you know, I wanted to do jump rope more than basketball. So the choice wasn't that hard for me, even though I love basketball so much. It just wasn't as hard because the sport of jump rope just took over my life completely. And so it was somewhat challenging for me in high school, but it wasn't to the point where I couldn't bear it because not a lot of people knew. I didn't tell a lot of people. You know, some people would know that I jump rope, but they still wouldn't know to the level of what I can do with a jump rope. So they just knew that, you know, I was in the movie Jump In, and they would always say, like, you know, I can jump better than you, joking around and things like that. But it's just like, if you only knew what I can do with a rope, you know, you wouldn't have that type of, you know, opinion about it. So the people who've actually seen me jump rope, like my friends and stuff like that, they're just like so blown away that they don't even understand, you know, that I can do this with a rope and, you know, still be myself. So
I love the males in our sport. Like, our sport has some of the most self-assured and resilient male athletes around. And I think it's because of that adversity that they face, like Brandon is talking about. There's some really good candidates out there in male jumpers, for sure.
Name drop.
They have my
respect. That's true. I have to say, as the parent of a female jumper, I think it is a little unfair because they train for years together, and suddenly in high school, the boys get so much better. And it's like wait a minute. This isn't fair. But it's what happens, and then suddenly, you know, like with a lot of sports, suddenly everybody wants to watch the boys, and they can do a lot more fancy tricks and, oh well, I think it's just the way the human body is made. Because I don't want to say the guys work any harder than the girls.
Well, I mean, there's some
stylistic. Are you going to agree with me on this?
There's some stylistic differences, though. I'm just going to say, you know, being equal doesn't mean that you have to be the same. And there's definitely some skills that females do better. Like, I'm going to take Nick Woodward and Kaylee Cuvion, for example. So Nick's got the back layout with the full twist. Very impressive. Kaylee has the better split. You know?
Well, Nick has a pretty good split, too.
Nick has a good split, but Kaylee's is better.
Yeah. Well, we can have this argument when we have Nick on either next Monday or Tuesday.
Well, you know what he's going to
say. Well, there, we've got a little preview of a coming argument.
Oh, talking about arguments. So what do you like to call it, Kate? Jump rope or rope skipping?
Jump rope, but that's because that was what our that's part of the team name. So the rope skipping terminology is just something we don't hear much.
Right.
But I've got to assume that that is a bit of a controversy.
It is. We had this argument last time we recorded, actually. And I think it should be called jump rope athlete.
Okay.
I was referring to the debate of, do you call somebody a rope skipper, a skipper, mm-hmm. or do you call them a jump roper?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry about
Well, my daughter refers to herself as a jump roper, which drives my husband crazy because he's a professional editor.
Yes. And thank you.
So he
thank
says, you're a rope jumper, and that doesn't sound right to her at all. So,
jump rope athlete sounds so much more professional.
Skipper.
Athletes don't
work. A lot of times, actually, what our administrator just refers to people as jumpers. So, I'm good
jumping?
With that one.
Yeah, but then, like, are you cliff jumping? Are you base jumping?
Right. I feel as though once you become competitive on the level that we are, people in the United States, we use the term jump roper. So I feel as though we just use jump roper and jump rope instead of, you know, rope skipper, because internationally, you guys use rope skipper, and just that's how your language is, I would.
Or better yet, that we in the United States mangle everything that we say.
Yeah.
Well, we just would call them skippers, because skipping implies the turning and the jumping. Because
right,
if you say...
To me, skipping implies that you're not actually getting very far off the ground, and that you're moving forward. And I think of jumping as something like, for example, a basketball player, you know, jumping super high to make a slam dunk. So I guess that's part of why the term jump makes more sense to me. But, you know, there certainly is a language difference.
Jump rope athlete.
I will concede that one time we had our national competition out east.
Mm-hmm.
So in Nova Scotia, which is right above like Boston there. And so there's a big sailing community and everything out there in the Maritimes. And somebody asked my mother, what are you guys doing out east here? And my mom said, oh, we're here for my daughter's skipping competition. For my daughter's competition, she's a skipper. And the lady looked at my mother and said, well, how do you feel about her on the ship with all those men? Because to them... skipper is a very specific term as well, right?
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever been confused. So I don't like to say jumper. Because
you're on Gilligan's Island. Hey, skipper.
Exactly, right? So a skipper is somebody found on a ship to them. So I think Corey might be onto something with the...
You heard it first here. Jump rope athlete.
We use the term jump rope athlete, Corey. The term is already being used. Like, when we say jump rope, we use every term for it. Like, we say jumper or jump rope or jump roper.
Yeah, but we need to consolidate it, to unify it to just one term. So everybody, especially mainstream audiences, you know exactly what you're talking about. Kind of like what happened with you, Ilya, or with your mom, you know. Like, so there's no question. What are you doing? Oh, this is a competitive jump rope competition, or my daughter or my son is a jump rope athlete, you know, or something like that. So.
So, but what if someone says, what do? You won't say jump rope athlete.
I am a jump rope athlete.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. Well,
right.
Listeners, chime in. This is the time to comment on the website and on social media. Maybe we should do a hashtag. What is it called?
Absolutely. Yes, I think this is one that is going to require tremendous community input. And we need to hear a lot of perspectives on this one.
Hashtag jump rope or rope skipper. jumper.
We have to get this down before Kate writes her next book. So
all right, everybody
get at least before the editing's done. Thank heavens for computers.
Yeah. Great. Oh, so talking about that, Kate, do you mind walking us through your process, for writing your books?
No. I mean, I will say that for the Roped In was my 10th full-length novel, and I have also written some novellas. So I've been doing this long enough to know that I don't actually have a process. There's two kind of schools of thought when it comes to writing fiction. And there's one term that's called a plotter, which is somebody who basically figures out everything that is going to happen and outlines it and writes it all down. And then there's what they call a pantser, which means you write by the seat of your pants. You don't necessarily plan out what's going to happen. You may have an idea of where you're starting and ending, but you don't necessarily figure out what's going to happen in between. You just start writing and see what your characters do. And I have done both. For the mystery series, I started out at just writing whatever the heck happened, and that's a lot of fun. It's actually like reading a book or watching a movie because you don't know what's going to happen next. But it's also a little stressful because you don't know if it will ever end. So for the mystery series, because those books had to be written in a very strict word limit, and they had to incorporate certain elements. They had to have a mystery. They had to have a bit of romance, and they just had certain requirements. So those had to be outlined, and really kind of every scene, I had to write down every scene that was going to happen, and that was a real new experience for me. And even after doing that, sometimes some things changed. In my case, my characters tend to take over, and they just start doing stuff that I don't necessarily expect them to. For example, when one of the characters fired my investigator, that wasn't in the outline. It was not planned. I think it really helped the story, but it totally surprised me when it happened. So this is about the point where people start to look at me as if I'm turning kind of green because I don't sound very normal. But anyway, for me, the process involves the characters really coming to life and taking over the story. So in this particular book, if I am not writing for a particular publisher's guidelines, then I can kind of take the seat of the pants approach, figure out the elements that are going to need to happen through the course of the story, but I can kind of let the characters decide when and how these things happen. And then that to me is the most fun.
Okay.
That is so interesting that don't even know what's going to happen. It's a mystery to you as you're writing it.
That can get you into trouble because you can end up with a 500,000 word book with no ending. But you end up having to cut a lot. It's not the most efficient way to write, but I view this as something that I get fulfillment out of and fun out of. And sometimes if it's too organized, it feels like you're writing a term paper. So and I also, like I said, I think about half of it, or maybe a heck of a lot more than that, is actually written in my subconscious. And I just feel like sometimes I'm taking dictation. I hear the characters talking, and I just write down what they say. And then later on, I have to go back in and figure out what they were actually doing while they were talking. So I think that's all coming from my subconscious. And I have to give them a certain amount of free rein because my subconscious does not like to write outlines. So there you go.
What got you into writing it in the first place?
I think it was something I always wanted to do, but it took me a long time to figure that out. When I was in college, I majored in drama because I had decided I liked acting when I was in about seventh or eighth grade because I liked living in imaginary worlds. And it wasn't until I was a lot older that I realized the best way and the most control you have over when you're going to go into imaginary world and what it's going to be like is if you're writing it rather than acting out an imaginary world that somebody else has created. And I got to college as a drama major and realized that I wasn't quite as into theater as everybody else was. And I also wasn't all that good at it. So I could hear characters the way that I thought a line should sound, and then when it came time for me to say it, it didn't sound like anything like what I thought it should sound like. So that was very frustrating to me. And I also, then I kind of switched out of drama into studying English and history. So I like the history. I like the idea that human nature has not changed throughout time, but the rules that we put on our behavior changes constantly. And so I really like to see how people do things and how they get around social concepts and deal with each other over time and how that has changed. So that's kind of where the historical fiction comes in. And I love to see how people did things in the past. So I volunteer at historic sites and learn how to cook over an open fire and how to do laundry without running water and that kind of thing. That kind of stuff just fascinates me. It's not fun if you have to do it. You know, it's only good if it's something you're doing for fun.
How does a magical jump rope time machine sound to you then?
Well, how does that work?
Every time
each rotation backwards, you go back 1 year, and each rotation forward, you go forward one.
Thank you, Ailea. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, and what happens when you miss?
When you miss,
do a triple under.
You're stuck in a time loop or something like that.
Or you go into a parallel dimension.
Right.
You know what? Why don't you just leave it with us? We'll write the book for you. It's no big deal.
That sounds good.
She's the professional here, so I'm going to leave it to her.
Yeah, oh, I'm totally kidding. You don't want to give us your book.
Well, I mean, I can't remember the name of the author, but they had, I don't know how many gazillion books about a magic treehouse, so why not a magic jump rope?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with the magic treehouse, but they were able to travel in time with that, so the jump rope makes as much sense as anything else.
I recognize the name, but for me, the only magical thing that I remember is the magical school bus.
Oh, that was
the show. That was the show.
No, it wasn't just a show. It was a book as well.
Yeah, I'm not really big on reading books. So
that's okay, Brandon. You don't have to. Good thing you're so great at jump rope.
Yeah, that's, you know.
No one's ever going to, you know, expect you to have to write a book because you're already so talented with one thing, right? So.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Brandon.
That's right, but you should read the jump rope books because as I and other authors start to write about our sport, you all need to read it.
Yeah, right.
And then you can tell us how to make it better.
Very true.
Well, and maybe one day I'll have some children and they can read it, right? Maybe they'll be interested in my life before then. I don't know. Hopefully they'll jump, but you never know, right?
I'm going to force my kids to jump.
You're going to force them?
Yes.
Oh, it worked out so well for you.
Yep, it did.
Your mom introduced you to the sport.
Well, and that way you're fortunate because I, as a coach, saw a lot of kids whose parents, the kids liked it, but the parents actually took them out because they said, well, I want them to do a sport that they can do in high school.
Right.
And that to me is very sad. My favorite thing was when you would find a jumper who didn't like any other sports and they needed some kind of physical activity in their lives and they just felt, you know, a lack of confidence with trying to hit or kick a ball. And then they start to see with jump rope that they can actually develop skills and they can see that they're accomplishing something. And that sense of development and accomplishment is just, that's the most amazing thing about coaching. I absolutely love it. And then to see a parent, you know, pull their child away from that because it's not common enough, that used to just make me very angry. Fortunately, I only saw that a couple of times, and it actually tended to happen more with the kids who were good at a lot of other sports, and the parents just decided that they should focus on something that was more popular. But, if you, I think as a parent, it's a good idea to introduce your child to a lot of things, but at some point you really need to kind of let them start making the choice about what they want to focus on.
Right. Yeah. And I feel as though if we make jump rope popular, you know, jump rope jam's main goal, you know, we're going to have those people who are going to be like, oh, jump rope, I can definitely put my kid in this, and they can learn from such a young age. Because I feel as though when...
It's a catch-22, right, Brandon?
Right. When you learn jump rope at a young age, you know, it can help you with all the other sports, and people just don't understand that. Like, you can't take a basketball and, you know, learn, you know, translate that to a jump rope, but you can translate, you know, learning how to jump rope into, you know, helping your feet move faster down the court, you know, hand-eye coordination with the basketball. So I feel as though jump rope helps other sports, even though, you know, it's not as popular.
I think it
would. No, I would agree with that.
If we could create the same opportunities for our athletes, for our high school age athletes, as like as other sports. So, for instance, if scholarships were available through jump rope, then maybe parents would be less likely to dissuade their kids from leaving the sport. Right?
Or and ADLs high school teams, if, even if not every high school, but if some high schools had teams, I think that would be tremendously helpful.
I mean, right. In one sense, the opportunities are there. I mean, like, if you look at Brandon and I, right, we've traveled the world, we've made a bit of money, we've been coaching and doing shows and part-time jobs, so we've found those, we've sought those opportunities for ourselves.
Right.
But I think if something like scholarships were available or endorsements, if those things were more regularly available to elite jump rope athletes, then you would see less of our athletes leaving to do other sports where they're vying for scholarships to help them get into the right school and things like that.
Right. I agree.
Yes.
And that's why it's important to support Jump Rope Jam's podcast. And the simplest way you could do that is by going onto iTunes and subscribing and rating us. Right now, we only have 3 ratings on iTunes. And the more that you rate us, the more people can see us and the more people who can subscribe, and soon enough we'll be able to get advertising money, and that money can be used to actually pay everybody who's involved with Jump Rope Jam. So,
oh, excellent segue there. I have to say that was perfectly timed. We did not plan that.
And make sure you buy Kate's book, right? Buy Kate's book, lend it to your friends so they can learn about the sport.
Exactly.
All that good stuff. Anything that you put into the community, right, is going to be shared. So
community love.
You want to support that for sure.
So I think this is a good time to call it. So unless you guys have anything else that you guys want to talk about. And Kate, anytime that you want to come on, you're more than welcome. We're in the process of getting the director of Jump In, actually. He responded to a tweet that I sent out to him, and he's interested, but he hasn't gotten back to me with any of the dates or times yet.
Well, that will be really interesting, yes.
So you're more than welcome to join, and obviously, Ilya, whenever you want to, you know,
want to say thank you to Kate for choosing our sport and putting it in print, and then going one step further and actually meeting us on the podcast. And I also want to thank you as an athlete for being a parent who judges and coaches and contributing that way. I have a lot of respect in our sport for our parent volunteers who judge and coach to keep our sport going forward. And I don't think you're really thanked enough as parents. So I definitely want to express my gratitude to you for all of that.
And I'm going
thank you. And thank you very much for having me on the show to talk about my book. And
well, I'm going to go one step further.
Really,
okay.
You know,
I'm just going to go one step further in thanking you. I've been planning on this, and I think that this is the best time to ask you. How would you feel if we advertise your book on Jump Rope Jam?
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay. Would love that.
So all you listeners out there, if you're interested and want to at least see what the book is about, and especially if you want to support Kate and the sport, go, we're going to put it up on Jump Rope Jam. You don't need to be a user to see it. When this podcast is posted next month, which will be the Monday that you actually download it, there should be a link on the top nav bar for Jump Rope Jam that will say store or shop, and that will have all jump rope items that are available. And the first one and only one for this time being right now will be Kate's book, Roped In.
Oh, I feel honored.
Nice.
So I actually feel very blessed that my daughter first discovered this sport. She saw a halftime show at a college basketball game, and she came home and she was so excited. She tried to jump rope on a ball in the living room, and I said, "You got to do that outside, away from the furniture, and maybe without the ball first." And that was it. She was hooked. She immediately knew what she wanted to do, and 10 years later, it's been a tremendous journey for both of us, and I really am excited to see where we go in the future.
Nice.
Again, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thank you.
I think that this is a perfect time to end it. And
so keep your chin up and jump high.
And remember, jump rope is a sport. See you later.